Welcome to another broadcast of Restoring Your Life. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to dive into your word and learn more about how to apply the truth to our life every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning has been an eventful morning, actually. Lots going on, but I wanted to just take a moment out of my busy day and share a little bit of insight with you. I was watching a show yesterday, Little House on the Prairie. Does anybody remember that program? Well, in that particular episode, little Mary Ingalls was blind and she was reading out of a Braille Bible and she was reading Psalm 15. And I'm going to read that to you because I believe it's going to bless you today. It says, "Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors them that fears the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved." Now, how many of us want to not be moved? I know I had to look at that passage very closely because there was a couple of areas that I need to work on. And I think that maybe I'm going to encourage somebody as well. But as I read through the first part, "Who shall abide in your tabernacle and dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness." Now, he that walks uprightly and works righteousness, those are two kind of ambiguous descriptions of what we're to do. So what does that really mean? The next part explains what that means. It says, "Speaking the truth in your heart." Do you know that a person that walks uprightly and a person that works righteousness speaks the truth in his own heart? Because frankly, that's where our battle is. That's where things develop, where our heart goes, our mind follows, where our mind goes, our body follows. So that's why the Lord says he looks upon the heart. He knows the intents of our heart. He doesn't look upon what you've done. He never has. He looks upon your heart because out of your heart will tell him what your body's going to do or not do. See, out of our heart is the abundance of life and the abundance of death. You know, many of our situations in life right now stem from our heart condition. What are we thinking about? Who are we believing? What are we believing? All these things stem from the heart. See, that's why he says, "I want to write my word upon your heart that it not sin against me." See, the whole issue is about our heart. Now, I've actually written a book called A Matter of the Heart. Make sure you look it up and pick it up. It's about how our heart causes our own stress and anxiety. You know, I lived under stress and anxiety and panic attacks and phobias for 30 years and 18 of those years as a Christian. And for those 18 years, I was in torment. By his stripes, I'm healed. So why am I not healed? I was suffering with all kinds of emotional problems and relational problems and physical problems. And I didn't realize it stemmed from my heart condition. You know, if we have a broken heart, I want to tell you something here. You cannot trust your broken heart. Why? What you're going to do is you're going to respond out of a broken heart. If you have a relationship with somebody and they come along and they want to love on you, your heart is going to tell you to protect yourself, to not get hurt again, and all these different things are going to sabotage your relationships because of what's in your heart. God wants your heart healed. A matter of your heart is where it starts, people. And it says, "Who shall dwell in my holy hill is those that speak the truth in your heart." When you speak the truth in your heart, You won't want to backbite your neighbor, which goes on in verse 3. Nor will you speak evil, but you're going to praise those and honor those and love on those people who fear the Lord. You will know who they are because your heart is telling you the truth. See, when you speak the truth, your heart will speak the truth. Then you can actually trust your heart. So we've got to get rid of what is lying to us. What has broken us? What does not belong there? Any reproach, any lies, any jealousies and envies. And it goes on to say, he that doesn't put his money out for interest. Let's say you lend some money to somebody and you're saying, okay, you know, with interest. The Bible says, don't do that. You know, lend your money and hope that it comes back. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture that says, lend and don't expect it back. I mean, it says that in Matthew when he spoke at the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he says, you know, lend and don't expect it to be returned. Because how many people lend stuff and they never see it again? But then we develop anger and icky stuff against that person. And the Bible says, don't do that. Do not say any evil thing about your neighbor. Isn't that amazing? So I think we have a little work to do here. Maybe you have a physical neighbor right next door to you that's just a nightmare. You're not to do any evil to them. You're not even supposed to speak about them. And it goes on to say, this is the result. He that does these things shall never be moved. That means when a storm comes your way, you're going to have strength and power to endure it. You're going to have everything you need to face it properly. You're going to have the abilities to live in that situation with strength and power and victory. You know, that's what it means to never be moved. And then if you go down to verse 9 in the next chapter, I was kind of reading it this morning, chapters 15 and 16 in Psalm. And I want to say this to you. This is amazing. It says, the Lord is always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, God's right hand doesn't move, and if I'm under his right hand, I won't be moved. I got to trust his hand. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we're going through, and we're going, where's God's hand? Hey, he's right there. It's right there. Because then it says this, therefore, my heart is glad. Now, again, we're talking about our heart condition. Is your heart glad today, or is it sad? It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. Okay, who is not living in rest right now? I woke up and I'm still tired. Well, it's not about what you do in your sleep. It is where is your heart while you sleep? You know, we have a little cell in our body. It's called a glial cell, and it washes away things you are not dwelling on. Well, what are you dwelling on before you go to bed? And it will only erase those things you are not dwelling on. So are you erasing good things out of your mind or bad things out of your mind? So when you wake up in the morning, are you refreshed with good things in your heart? Because the cell did its job during the night. So we have to go to bed. The Bible says, don't go to bed angry, right? Why? Because the Lord knows that if you go to bed angry, that little cell is going to only erase good. It's not going to erase the icky because you're thinking about the icky. So it's our heart, people. We've got to take a look at our heart. The Bible says, commune upon your own bed with your own heart. Your heart is where it is. You need to know yourself. You need to ask the Lord, show me my heart. I don't want to be afraid to see what's in there. Because people, you are responsible for what is in your heart. I can't tell you what to put there. I cannot tell you what to take out. Only you can know what is there. And only you know what to take out with the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit living within you. So I'm asking the Lord to minister to you right now in that area of your heart condition. If you're broken, if you're hurt, if you're lonely, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you feel like you've lost your hope, lost your way, you know, the Lord wants your heart restored because that's where your life comes out of. How can you live joyous and victorious life when you're full of all those things? You can't, because out of your heart, it flows. You know, I remembered reading an old proverb from an Indian proverb. It says, when your heart is filled with fire, only lightning bolts will shoot out of your mouth. And even in Job, it says, when your heart is filled with coal, only junky evil stuff will flow out of your mouth. So it is the heart. So I encourage you today to sit on your bed with your own heart and commune with the Lord and say, Father, show me my heart. Introduce me to my heart. Let me see what is there that is keeping me from living the abundance that you have promised those, that you have promised to make me stand in so I am not moved. Father, show me where I am backbiting my neighbor, where I am not being forgiving, where I am not being walking righteously with my friends, if I'm not being a great example and a godly mother or a sister or a friend. Show me where I am not these things and deliver me. Forgive me. Cleanse and purge me from all unrighteousness. The Corinthians talks about this. It says, purge yourself from all of the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And that way, you are cooperating with the Lord and asking God to restore you, because you are God's hands, his feet, and his mouth. And if it's filled with contempt and usury and backbiting and anger and fear, you're not going to be very useful, are you? And I don't think you want those things in you. So come to the Lord today. Reason with him. He says, commune with me. Talk with me. Don't be afraid to tell me your heart, because I know it anyway. And again, pick up my book called A Matter of the Heart. It goes into how to really have the restoration of your heart with the Lord so that you can walk uprightly and in righteousness so that you will not ever be moved. So, Father, I thank you for this, just the simple, timely word, that the people would pick up their word and read Psalm 15 and Psalm 16 today, and that they would glean from your holy hill those things that they can abide in. And when they can abide in your tabernacle and dwell in your holy hill, that they will not be moved, that they will be filled with the righteousness of Christ, that they will be filled with prosperity and goodness and health, that everything their hand touches shall prosper, and they shall not be moved when terror strikes during the day or during the night. They will not fear. They will not worry. They will only trust you with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We give you all the praise for what you're doing in these lives. In Jesus' name, amen.